Listen local.
Hello, 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 and welcome to the Local Edition on a Friday evening. I'm your host, Patricio Roballo. We have a packed show for you today, so let's get straight to it. In the second half of the show, we'll be celebrating, continuing our celebration of Hispanic Heritage Month with the host of La Voz, Riel Fiore, which we air on Radio Catskill at 11 p.m. on Monday. We'll be talking about Hispanic Heritage Month and an upcoming roundtable that deals with Latinos in politics. But first, we have on the phone with us now the one and only Chris Rowley from the Shuangkok Journal, letting us know what's happening in Ellenville and Ulster County. Chris, welcome back to the show. The first big topic we have to talk about, of course, is the congressional race that's happening right now, the congressional New York 19th, which this is a vast, large rally of this large district, I should say, stretches from Thompson County in the west all the way to Columbia County, east of the Hudson, includes parts of the Catskills, Hudson Valley, Southern Tier, and the Finger Lakes regions. You've been doing some work on this race. What can you tell us about the latest?
Well, just an overview and to bring everybody's attention to the fact that this is going to be a very important race. The 19th is very competitive. It has represented right now by Mark Molinaro, a Republican congressman, who is being challenged by Josh Riley, who is Democratic. He's an attorney with a lot of experience in Washington. And they are basically opposite ends of the district. Riley hails from Ithaca with wife and two kids, two sons, and Molinaro recently moved. Molinaro reflects the complexity of this district because he recently moved to Catskill about this time last year, because otherwise he would have been living in Red Hook over in Dutchess County. But he was the county executive for Dutchess County for, I don't know, 10 years. And he's been active in politics for a long time. He was the youngest mayor in America in 1995 for Tivoli. He's been representing parts of this district forever and ever and knows it very well. But the district has completely moved. I'm just amazed at how flexible it's become. It used to be, long ago, it used to be a solidly Democratic district representing, I think, like the Bronx, parts of Westchester County, and it was just solidly that way. Then they moved it upstate, and for a while it became Republican, then it became Democrat again. Most recently, they redistricted it again and to create this really huge district that runs from Massachusetts border right across to Binghamton and then on to Ithaca, includes Cortland, Oneonta, Kingston, Liberty, Ellenville, Catskill. It's huge. And it's also rural, but only it's 36% urban. So that tells you something. However, it's very white. It's 80% white. So it doesn't really look like the nation as a whole. It looks more like rural New York, but it's still very competitive. And the two of them are slugging it out, social media and everything, and spewing all the stuff that Republicans and Democrats spew about each other these days, which is sad. But what I'm seeing is, trying to be neutral about this, is seeing that they're coming at it from basically the classic sort of angles that you would expect from Republican on the one hand and Democrat on the other. And Molinaro is making noise about the Democrats on the border. The immigration issue plays very well for them. It's a very difficult issue. Then meanwhile, Josh Riley is playing a couple of other things. He's playing more. He's from a working class neighborhood and, you know, this, that, and the other. And has done work on things like pediatrics. Healthcare for children has been a big thing for him. So those sort of issues are like being set against each other. And we'll have to see. The trouble is there's a slight tendency at this point just to invent stuff, as we had with the Haitian migrants. And unfortunately, Mark Molinaro went down that particular rabbit hole and started to say that Riley will have to own the crisis regarding Haitian immigrants in someone's imagination, eating people's pets in Springfield, Ohio. That's got nothing to do with New York, and we know it's not true, and it's so silly to bring that in here. But it rubs perfectly in a certain kind of sore spot for people. There we go. We're going to do that. Riley called those posts rage tweeting. We had an article this week from our editor, John D'Amico, in the Shangam Journal, going through these things, and he pulled together a lot of this. And it's pretty clear that, unfortunately, as it's tight in this race, both sides are going towards what kind of mud they can get hold of. And that's unfortunate, but that's where our politics nationwide is. And we'll have to see whether we can get over that and get through it after this November. Anyway, the two of them are set to have a debate on WNYT on October the 10th. If you haven't really have any chance to look at them before, take a look at that. What Riley is positing most, while Molinaro is talking up the border, Riley is talking up abortion and saying basically that Molinaro may say he won't do this, but has shown that he will vote with the rest of the Republicans to do bans on abortion, and Riley is saying he won't. And so that is a very powerful issue. We saw Pat Ryan run with that issue the last time around when Ryan and Molinaro were competing for the district before the redistricting, and it may well have been what tipped it to Pat Ryan that time. So we'll have to see. It's one of these issues. Women have to decide whether they are a Democrat or a Republican or a woman. It gets to that level. And so that's what Riley is talking up. The border, the issue with the border is it's a long way away from here, except we have the Canadian border at the top of the state. But it's very difficult to get legislation through. And the Democrats and Republicans actually had a bipartisan act that was ready to go. But unfortunately, it's a very good issue for Donald Trump. So he told the Republicans to jettison it. And they did, which in a sense is an epitome of where we're at. So that good legislation that was, it was legislation, it was like sausage. It had been made. It had good parts, bad parts, and awful parts. But it was legislation. It would have affected some parts of these issues on the border. And Trump did not want it to pass because he wants to be able to just campaign on that issue as it is. And you can say that the Democrats came to that particular party pretty late, and maybe they should have turned out their attention there some time ago. But I think every time everybody's tried to do that, they've just been disappointed. It's not been an issue that this country's been able to solve for a very long time. And we'll see. We'll see what happens, what the effect of that will be for this election. There's the border issue. The abortion issue, that's something for everyone's conscience. And it's a very personal decision. And do we really think we should step into women's decisions about their own bodies? Personally, I don't think so.
Right.
But I do know other people think that religious beliefs trump anything to do with this particular thing. So it's one of those kind of very difficult issues, and it's person by person making up their own mind. There we go. We've got those are the sort of two big issues that they're fighting about, but trying not to be seen as weak or incorrect on either one of them. And so we'll have to see how that shows up, whether people are paying attention is another matter. But I think this particular election probably will have a strong turnout. So it could go down to the wire and all the rest of it.
I think the New York 19 is going to be a very close race for a lot of reasons that you said. It's, even though some of the things that happen nationally or what people are talking about nationally, it does affect us here, but I think it's going to be a close race. And Chris, that's all the time we have for right now. Again, thank you so much for this. We'll talk to Chris Rowley from the Shuangkok Journal, letting us know what's happening in Ellenville and Ulster County. Until next week, Chris, talk to you soon.
Okay, bye-bye.
And we'll be right back. We're talking to the host of Laval's, celebrating Hispanic Heritage Month and letting us know about the Latino Roundtable that's happening. Stay tuned. There's a starman waiting
in the sky. He likes it coming. You're listening to The Local Edition, winner of Excellence in Broadcasting Awards from the New York State Broadcasters Association. Radio Catskill. Listen local.
Adams has had ethical problems throughout his political career during the time that I've been covering him. He says, I'm a police officer, I know where the line is, I follow the rules, but now that's really in question.
I'm Michael Barbaro. That's Today on The Daily from The New York Times.
yogurt.
Welcome back to the Local Edition on a Friday evening. I'm your host, Patricio Roballo. Hispanic Heritage Month, celebrated from September 15th to October 15th, honors the culture and history and contributions of Latino and Hispanic Americans in the United States. As part of the Hispanic Heritage Month celebrations, the event will be held in Kingston, New York, with the Latinos and local politics, a roundtable discussion that will take place on Thursday, October 17th at Kingston City Hall from 6 to 8 p.m. This event is not only talk about the recognition of growing influence of Latinos in regional politics, but also an opportunity to engage with local leaders across the political spectrum. And moderating the discussion is Mario Fori, the managing editor for La Voz magazine, which has been a key voice in Latino community in the Hudson Valley. Mario is also the advocate for Latino representation and known for her journalistic contributions for the community and engagement efforts. And of course, is the host of La Voz, which we air here on Radio Catskill on Mondays at 11 p.m. Welcome back to the program.
Thank you so much, Patricio, and thank you for aiding my show on Radio Catskill. I'm still honored for doing that.
You're welcome, definitely. Before we get to the depth of what this roundtable is all about, let's just talk about the importance of Hispanic Heritage Month. Why is it important to celebrate it each year, and especially where we are in this political climate?
It's super important. This is something that was mandated by the government. We have to start there. But we really like celebrations because it is about celebrating the achievements and contributions of Hispanic American leaders who have inspired others to achieve success here in the United States and also around the world, in Latin America, but that they have influenced us here. So it's a month that starts with September 15. It's actually the Independence Day for Guatemala, Honduras, El Salvador, Nicaragua, and Costa Rica. September 16 is the Independence Day for Mexico and Chile. September 18, Chile is for September 18, and Belize is on September 21. So the beginning of Hispanic Heritage Month also coincides with the celebration of Independence Day for a lot of Latin American countries. And ends in October. I don't like the end has to do with the arrival of the Europeans to the continent from Spain. Christopher Columbus was what is now known as Italy, but he was saved by the Spanish crown. That's why everyone in Latin America speaks Spanish. But that's the end of the month. I still think it's very important to continue to talk about the celebration, the contributions and achievements of Hispanics. And I would love it to be the year round. We are about 20% of the population in this country. The census puts us at 65 million. So how come we are almost 20% of population, 65 million, still in a lot of English-speaking media and print media, the national, the local, we barely show up in the news. We're like 5% of the time, things like that. But then you look behind who is in those newsrooms, and unfortunately we don't have enough representation of Latinos in the newsrooms. And this goes across the board in other professions as well, in the school system, things like that, politics. And this is why we're going to have this panel about Latinos in local politics, to say, yes, we are very little doing a lot of things, but let's hear from these very few that are doing it, and maybe we can learn about why is it important to be involved in politics in many different aspects.
And you talk about the lack of representation in politics, especially during this political climate that we do live in, especially immigration being such a prominent topic as you post the 2024 elections. What is the sense that you get from some of the politicians you have spoken about the rhetoric that some of the Republican party leaders, namely Trump, President Trump, former President Trump, talks about how he talks about the southern border, the immigrants are coming in, and you can see what's happening with his rhetoric when it comes to what he talks about the Haitian migrants who are eating dogs and cats, which we know is a debunked statement.
And there is also a point to clarify. I just say 65 million people that were born, of the Hispanics that were born in the United States, is like over 60% of that percent, of those 65 million were born in the United States. Since the year 2000, and mostly since 2010, 1 million Hispanic babies were born every year in the United States. And in those years, since 2010 to now, about 350,000 immigrants from Latin American countries have come per year. So the driver of Hispanic growth, the Hispanic population growth, are native-born Hispanics. That means U.S. citizens. So when the when we talk about Hispanics, it's not just that image that makes people frown and all of these words that are used against people, making dehumanizing people with the word illegal, for example. So you have to be very careful when, because we're talking about 65 million people, most of them U.S. citizens. And a lot of them can also vote. And this is the problem, that a lot of people are still disengaged from voting, mostly young people. And I know there are a lot of campaigns like Voto de Latino, Gen Vote. All these groups are trying to encourage young people to vote. Most of the young people, I say one in five people in the United States, 20% is Latino. But among the young people, is one in four, 25%. So the future is Latino. And my question is, how are we going to make sure that all of these youngsters, being Latino or not, they are really involved in politics? Because that's a way to change situations.
You mentioned about the diversity that we do have in the Latino population. I was talking to somebody else about this recently, about how diverse the Latino population is. A lot of times the media likes to lump every Hispanic and Latino community into one block, voting block, really. but it's such a diverse community from Southern American countries, from the Caribbean. And you talk about the first generation Latinos. For me personally, I was born here in this country. My parents are from Ecuador and Puerto Rico. And when this whole southern border thing was heating up, a lot of folks came to me and were apologizing to me or talked to me about what it took to get to this country. And that's unfortunately the problem you have, that automatically you're judged by how you look or how your name looks or things like that. And I have to correct a lot of people. It's like, no, I'm born here. I'm American here.
Yeah. The statistic, according to the Pew Hispanic Center, is a Pew Research Center, and the Hispanic part of them is 81%. That's 4 out of 5 Latinos are U.S. citizens, 81%. Of course, there are a lot of minors, so not everyone can vote. So go on, Patricia. And I think having this conversation is a way of turning the table on the hateful messaging that sometimes we hear.
Yeah, yeah. Someone like you who's actively involved and you're amplifying the Latino voices through La Voz, how do you think media can influence Latino representation in politics or getting young folks or anybody interested in politics and going out there to vote, thinking their vote matters? Because that's what I get. That's why I feel that a lot of folks who are in the younger age or in the past, I don't know by now, but I always thought like their vote didn't matter, because in everyday life, sometimes they feel like forgotten.
If their voice didn't matter, no one would care about this gerrymandering of districts, of making maps that use the value of your vote. They wouldn't be caring about cleaning the voting registry. In Maricopa County, Arizona, they just took down 100,000 people from the voting registration. They say that these people never show, they never show a certificate, a birth certificate. So if your voice didn't matter, then no one would make so much effort going to court, doing all of these things, or creating laws that disenfranchise people from voting. So I think that if there wasn't such a great pressure from certain circles to make sure that people don't vote, then that's the great proof that actually your voice matters, that your vote, each vote is super important. And in terms of the Latinos in the United States, yes, we come from all over, mostly from Mexico, but also from Puerto Rico, from the Dominican Republic, Guatemala, Colombia, Honduras, Cuba, Salvador. I am personally from Argentina. So we come from all different flavors. There are some things that connect us and unite us. For some of us, is the Spanish language. For some, it's just the cultures that have some of Spanish in there, like from our ancestors. But we are not talking about indigenous languages. That, for example, my grandmother spoke an indigenous language. And it should be included when we talk about Hispanics or Latinos. It's not just our Spanish heritage from the colony of Spain, which, yes, that's part of it, but there's more. And that's, I think, is the richness of celebrating this month.
I'm glad you said that, because, yeah, it's not only from the Spanish, European Spanish, who came here and colonized everybody and have what we have now, but yeah, absolutely right. The indigenous population that was there in Puerto Rico and other countries, and my mother was Puerto Rican, and she always talked about her Taino roots. She always celebrated it, always talked about it. I know when I went, first time I went to Puerto Rico as an older adult, that was something I was very interested in, just this shift that happened of the folks that were here before the Europeans came by and colonized everything. But you're absolutely right. I'm glad you mentioned that.
Going back to your question about me, I am a member of the National Association of Hispanic Journalists. I just turned 40 years old. I was at the conference. It was very well attended. However, it wasn't so many people as I saw before in other conferences. And this is something, it's the reality of, because it's also a business. And most of the time, people that come are from the TV. And television is not doing as well. And when they have to fire or hire, the first ones to fire are the minorities, let's say. So that would be the Hispanics. So there were less and other minorities. There were fewer people in this conference. And one conversation all along was, okay, everyone understands that we need more diversity, more Latinos in media and in other aspects, in other positions of power. The reality is that the system sometimes doesn't allow for that. So we have to continue to fight in other ways. If you cannot do mass media, okay, do a small publication in Spanish for the region you live. Do a radio show that maybe Radio Catskill will air. This type of thing helps expand the discourse. They were also talking about that we need to go to TikTok. People are confused. What is the media that people consume? I work with a lot of students at Bard College, and the first day of our meeting for La Voz magazine, I asked them, okay, well, what news you want to share here? And they share a piece of news, and I say, where did you read or where did you learn that? And a lot of people tell me, I learned this from TikTok. And so that's what we're fighting against. That's misinformation, basically.
Yeah. A lot of the young folks are getting their media from social media, and we hope that they are smart enough to make sure to correct their sources, because it could be a lot of misinformation that's happening on social media.
Yes.
So, and just looking forward to now, let's talk about this event, more about this event that's happening on Thursday, October 17th, Kingston City Hall. Who are some of the folks that you have on stage with you?
I am excited that we have a quite diverse panel, people that work in politics, like elected officials, people that work for political parties from not just two, but three different political parties. We have Sandra Cuellar Oxford. She's a co-chair and secretary of the Working Family Parties for New York. She's also a political and community organizer at New York State Nurses Association. We'll talk about the labor. We'll talk about politics. And this is something that just happened recently. The Teamsters, or people usually think in general, that unions will always align with Democrats. But we're following the news right now that the Teamsters are like, I'm not sure where we're going to go. So we'll talk about what's the role of unions in politics. Ruben Estrada is another one of the people that's going to be in the roundtable discussion. He's a founder and chairman of the Latino National Republican Coalition of New York State. So this is a Latino of Puerto Rican descent who is a very strong Republican and specifically Trump supporter. And it's very interesting, his point of view as well. So we want to hear from him. Then we'll have Sheriff Juan Figueroa. He's also a county sheriff. He's also Boricua. He's Democrat in this case. But it's also interesting because he's a Black man, Latino Black man with a very strong position of power, which is the police. So we'll talk about that. Kevin Darian Lujan is an Orange County legislator, as well as Genesis Ramos. She's an Orange County legislator. So these three, Juan Figueroa, Lujan, and Ramos, they're the three of them elected officials. So that's also interesting to see Latinos in those positions of power. And we'll talk with Eddie Monroy. He's a young man who is now the deputy campaign manager for Senator Hinchy. And he's also working for the coordinated campaigns with Congressman Pat Ryan for New York Democrats. I think it's going to be a very interesting conversation. And as I say, a diversity of ways that Latinos can get involved in local politics.
And this event is open, free to the public, and it will be in English and with a Spanish interpretation, refreshments given. I just want to talk about representation again. That topic became more important to me after the birth of my daughter and realizing what she watches on the TV. And now that there are our representation and more now in shows, like, for example, Sesame Street and PBS always had Latinos and Latinas on the programming, but now he's even more. Like, my daughter watches a show called Alma, which is a girl who's a Hispanic living in the Bronx and riding on the 6 train, which is, you know, perfect for me because that's where I grew up. I grew up in the Bronx in a Hispanic family riding the 6 train. And it's great that she's able to see that now, and she sees herself in that. And for her, it's a normal thing. But growing up, it wasn't always, didn't always happen. It was few and far between when you see actual Latinos and Latinas on TV and in TV programs. And most of the time when you do see them, they're either the robber, they're either the superintendent of the building, or they're the buddy, or you know, something that's sort of in bad light of Hispanics. Very few Hispanics or Latinos on TV during the 80s and 90s and the 70s that were seen in better light on TV. I don't know if you want to comment on that and how important representation is in all aspects of life, not only in politics, but on TV and seeing other folks who look like us in places of power.
Ali, well, I not just in politics, but all places of power have some sort of politics embedded into it. The fact that you see yourself reflected means that you can also be there. You can also get into that position. And it's a source of inspiration. So people don't feel that despair, I'm not worth it. And this is something that for another day, maybe the issue of self-racism, I forgot the term that's usually used, but it's when you don't consider yourself enough because you don't see yourself reflected. Nothing shows who you are. Everything is up about other people, but you are never there. And when you see that, you feel like, okay, you are not important. It's that self-inflicted racism. And some people like would not even try to do something because they feel that's not the place for them. But we are in the United States of America, and I feel like this is a country of opportunities, and we need to find those opportunities and fight for them. And when we start seeing that representation, this is a source of inspiration. And I am really inspired and hopeful whenever I see those type of things.
Yeah, oh, definitely. So am I. So, Mario, before we go, is there anything else that we have not touched on that you want folks to know about either La Voz or any upcoming shows that you have, or anything else about the Latinos and Local Politics Roundtable?
Yes, I have to say thank you to the City of Kingston, particularly Council Member Ginny Edwards from Ward 4 for helping facilitate all of this. Also, Radio Kingston will be live streaming the event. Hopefully, people can come in person. It's a very big space, the chambers, Council Chambers at the City Hall in Kingston for 20 Broadway. But if you cannot, we are going to live stream it on Facebook on Radio Kingston site, and we also have a shorter version for the listeners of Radio Catskill. So I think if you really want to listen to this conversation, there will be many opportunities.
We're talking to Mario Fiore, host of La Voz, that airs right here on Radio Catskill on Mondays at 11 p.m. Thank you so much for talking to me and talking to me about this roundtable discussion that's coming up in Kingston. Also talk to me about Hispanic Heritage Month. I do really appreciate it.
Muchas gracias, Patricio.
And that does it for the Local Edition. We'll be right back on Monday.
Cuidado, que por ahí vienen los anos.
And if you ever miss a show, we have a podcast. You can find us anywhere you find your favorite podcast. Search for WJFF, The Local Edition. Subscribe, share, and tell your friends. Find us on social media. We're at WJFF Radio Catskill. Visit our website, WJFFradio.org. For more interviews and sign up for our newsletter to get the news right in your inbox. How great is that? You've been listening to The Local Edition. I've been your host, Patricio Roballo. Have a good night, Lucy. Everyone else, take care. Stay safe this weekend. And I'll talk to you again soon. Bye.
Lo llamé, no me preguntaron dónde. Orgullo tengo de ustedes. Mi gente siempre responde.
Support for Radio Catskill comes from North American Cultural Laboratory, Highland Lake, New York, an experimental workspace for performing artists and inquisitive audiences, creating a space for community celebration throughout the year. NACL.org.
WJFF Jeffersonville.